Welcome to Real Career Talk. I am your host, Philip Burkett. This is a monthly interview brought to you by the Network National, where we spend 30 minutes with internal and external experts discussing career hot topics. Those topics include our 2021 talent development pillars, including adaptability, mentoring, sponsorship, advocacy, continuous learning, and building relationships for you, your career, and your organization. I am honored to have with us today Mohammed Farshori, Director of Global Community Engagement, Citizenship, and Sustainability. One quick tidbit about Mohammed is that the Dallas Journal says that after more than 14 years and 9 different roles with the company, his new role helps him embrace his passion for corporate social responsibility. Welcome, Mohammed. How are you today?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you, Phil. Thanks for inviting me to this awesome conversation.
Yes, we're going to talk about mentoring and knowing that your path included 9 different roles over 14 years. Tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us something personal that you'd like our audience to know about you.
Absolutely. Actually, it's now been 17 years. It's an old article.
Awesome. So, okay.
But, you know, I've been with AT&T for a while now. I've been in 10 different roles, 6 different organizations, and started as a call center sales rep. I've done customer experience, tech support operations. I've done chief of staff work. My last job before I became a part of the corporate social responsibility team, I managed I was part of the product marketing team. So, you know, moved in various diverse roles, and I was born and raised in India. So my first job when I moved to the U.S. Was with AT&T.
Okay. Awesome. And I see you got the AT&T. Is that the Believe shirt that you have on there today? Watch out.
Yes, I have my AT&T. I have my AT&T Believes India t-shirt. So my day job, I manage the global employee and community engagement work, like all the AT&T Believes that we're launching in Europe and Asia. It's a very fun job. I love it.
Well, awesome. We're happy to have you here today, and we're excited to hear what you're going to say about our topic today, which is all about mentoring, sponsorship, and even advocacy. So how would you define the differences between these three: mentoring, being a mentor, being a sponsor, and being an advocate?
Absolutely. You know, I have mentors, I have sponsors, I have coaches, right? So there's a lot of different roles people play in our everyday life, personal life, professional life. I see mentor as definitely someone who's different than a sponsor and an advocate, but I see a sponsor and advocate role very similar. A mentor is a very relationship-oriented role. You know, they will take the time to help you, develop you holistically, and, you know, whether you have specific goals in place or not. But but a mentor is not waking up thinking about your career, right? They're not picking up the phone and calling for you. Mentor is just providing you guidance. And that's where the role changes from a relationship-oriented role to a network-oriented role, where a sponsor and an advocate is someone who's in a position of influence, someone who can help you enter spaces that you might not be able to or may not even be aware of. And, you know, so they are the ones who are inviting you to events, giving you presentation opportunities, putting you in front of hiring managers, you know, and a sponsor is basically someone you need to grow. A mentor is someone you need for development. To get to that point to grow in the company.
Mm-hmm. Sponsor, excellent. Sponsor is someone that you need to grow and move forward in your career. Mentoring is all about development. We're going to spend a little bit more time on mentoring a little bit later. But I want to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Are these roles, mentoring, sponsorship, and being a sponsor, and an advocate, are they interchangeable? Would you say they're interchangeable?
Absolutely. I think they're definitely interchangeable. And I have many examples in my life where someone who started as a coach became my mentor and then became my sponsor. For example, someone who's only focused on developing a skill set, like someone that I knew, I didn't know PowerPoint. If someone is coaching me on how to do PowerPoint, that's a coach. But that same person, you know, that invested in developing a skill set now says, Mohammed, there is someone that needs a chief of staff. You're really good with PowerPoint. I'm going to recommend you and help you develop that skill set. You know, so 1 year you spend on mentoring. And then the same person, after becoming a coach and then becoming a mentor, pulled me in one of the, as that person moved to another team, they needed someone, they pulled me in. To me, that person went from becoming a coach to a mentor and to becoming a sponsor until they, like, if I need this person to call someone for me, they will, without any doubt. Because you've built a relationship where they're not giving you any sugar-coated responses. Like, for example, Phil, if I reach out to you and say, hey, there's a job, you're not going to say, let me look at your resume, let me see what you have done and blah, blah, blah. You already know me. You're not going to ask those questions. That's the difference between a mentor and sponsor. A sponsor will pick up the phone and say, hey, you can't go wrong hiring Phil. I highly recommend it. But it takes time. And it has to be very natural. It has to be very intentional. It has to be a relationship you have to invest in. No one just automatically becomes your sponsor, right? You have to go through experiences with these folks, professional, volunteer, CSR work, diversity, equity, inclusion work, ERG work. When you go out, you're doing stuff with them, then you're building that relationship with them, a stronger relationship than just meeting them once a year, twice a year in a one-on-one conversation.
Mm-hmm. I want to come back to this interchangeable role. And I recall my director in leadership development. He was an advocate for me. As you stated, sometimes we've said in past classes, the advocate is the one in the room when you're not. And they're there to, hey, I loved your wording. You can't go wrong if you utilize Phil here. You know, a sponsor might do a little bit differently there. And you know, I might ask something in regards to, well, is there ever a time that I need to be concerned for that person holding all of those roles for me? I remember a young lady coming up to me and I said, I don't necessarily know if I can be a mentor for you. I'm like your uncle, you know, and there might be some limitations to that. But before I get into that, let's talk about mentoring relationships. You used the word relationships earlier. There are three types of mentoring relationships out there. And I want you to share your thoughts on them. Traditional one-on-one mentoring, there's what they call distance mentoring, and then group mentoring. Share your thoughts with the audience, the network audience, your thoughts on each one of these particular mentoring relationships.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm one of the mentors for Network ERG, and I'm also a mentor for AEWN, also Oasis, and I'm also helping Inspiration. So, and I've been part of it. I'm a product of ERG mentoring circles and ERG mentoring one-on-ones and ERG, distance mentoring, because I've done all of those. So I have experienced both leading a mentoring session versus being part of a mentoring session. All of them, it all depends on how you utilize them. And to me, the most effective one is, traditional one-on-one mentoring, where you really build relationship. Because I've been in mentoring circle where, some of the mentors don't even remember your name after you sit in those circles for almost 1 year every month, because there's a group session, like they're like 12 people in the group. And you don't get to build that kind of relationship, but you're learning, but you're not building an interpersonal relationship because there are 12 people in the room. And most of us for the last 2 years have been, being part of distance mentoring. I have been mentoring people for almost 2 years since COVID started that I have never met. Sure, distance mentoring works, but I always prefer traditional one-on-one mentoring where, I usually like a very natural approach where you have to be intentional. My advice to folks is when you're doing a one-on-one mentoring or group mentoring or even distance mentoring, you need to make sure that there is a goal behind it, and don't just randomly go and join a circle where it doesn't align with you. For example, if I'm in business marketing or if I'm in IT and my next job goal is to be in a certain organization, then be very intentional about joining a particular officer or director or AVP circle so that you can benefit out of that relationship. And don't be a marketing guy trying to get an IT mentoring circle where you may learn something, but it may not benefit you professionally.
Mm-hmm. I like your phrase, be intentional. Now, what about, you know, this is a vast company, a large company. What if I don't know? What if I don't know where? I like what you're saying in regards to, hey, be intentional, have a focus, and, you know, don't just join one. But what if I don't know where I want to go? How can I be effective with intentional focus in that regard? I'm looking, I see this abundance of knowledge out here. Everyone's offering. How can I be intentionally effective? Talk to me about that. What are your thoughts?
So, you know, I've had some really good mentors, and I steal shamelessly from some of my peers that are doing a great job with mentoring, networking. One of my friends, David Williams, I love what he does. I call it the 15 minutes of David Williams. What he does is the way he builds his network is he asks anyone he connects with, he asks people, what do you do? I would love to learn more about you. Can I get 15 minutes on your calendar? Right. And I've realized that, and I've started using it, that no one says no to 15 minutes. Doesn't matter how big, how busy you are. People will give you 15 minutes.
Right.
And what it does is it creates a network in business units where normally you would not know anyone. For example, if you're part of a mentoring circle, a lot of people, what they do is they're so focused on the mentor that they're not focused on the circle. Wow. They're not building a relationship with those people. You go volunteer, you're so focused on the activity that you're not realizing that there are hundreds of people around you that could be your next supervisor. They could be your next peer. So reaching out to those folks with the intention that, hey, you know what, I'm going to go volunteer. I'm going to do something great for the community. But guess what? I'm also going to build a network which will help me professionally. Mm-hmm. So that's the intention. Like, you be intentional, like to the point, at one point, I still have it. There is a folder I have in Outlook called leadership. So anytime I know that my senior leadership or a business stakeholder leadership is going to be at an event, I go and pull up their old emails. Mm-hmm. And I go look at it and see what was the last email they were talking about so that in case I can connect the dots with how I'm supporting their business, how I'm supporting their priorities. And that's intentional. A lot of people don't do that. And that way, you know, you leave a mark, you leave some kind of impression that makes them, you know, connect with you differently than others.
Mm-hmm. Excellent points here, Mohammed, that you're providing the audience. Being intentional is about seeing not just what they can give you, but what you can offer to their organization as well. And I loved how you put that. I want to ask you another question here. We've talked about traditional one-on-one mentoring and distance mentoring and group mentoring. There's another one. When we used to teach in leadership development, one of the things we love to say is peer coaching is the best coaching. You know, is there such a thing as peer mentoring? I know I'm throwing that one in there, but is there such mm-hmm. a thing as peer mentoring? What are your thoughts?
There absolutely is. And I think I call it true network. And the reason I call it true network is the people that you're growing with, the people that are around you, they give you the most honest feedback. And they are the true champions. They really know your capabilities. They know exactly what you can bring to the table. In fact, two of my promotions in my career came from my peers. One of them was someone that I had hired at some point. That person went and he was doing phenomenal with his work. He went to another team and he recommended me to his boss. And that was my first level 2 promotion. And another peer pulled me in from sales into Uverse. That was my first boss at AT&T. And these are people who at one point I either worked with or they reported to me, and we were part of the same team. And they really know your capabilities. And that's the true network, because it doesn't matter how long I'm with AT&T. Those are the folks that I have known for 17, 18 years. And there's a difference, like Phil, like you and I connected just now. I may build a network with you, but my true network, people have known me for 18 years. They have known me in various different roles. They are going to tell me the way it is. They're not going to sugarcoat anything. So I totally believe in the peer to peer mentoring. I highly recommend people go find your true network.
And I will agree with you on that. Definitely. When we're talking about mentoring, it's not always about up. Sometimes lateral can give you great insight.
Oh my God.
Your peers, you know, hey, here's the thing, Muhammad, you would probably agree with me. They've seen you at your best and they've seen you at your worst. Right. So
they know too much about you.
Right. But they're going to give you good insight there. So that's great. I want to just share with the audience real quick, peer coaching. There is a difference between peer coaching and peer mentoring. Peer coaching is where you're working on your practices, trying to figure out problems in the workplace. Peer mentoring is that one-on-one. I like what Muhammad stated earlier, is that one-on-one relationship with that person that's lateral with you, right? And oftentimes they're giving you guidance. They're giving you advice, right? And maybe you should look at this. Maybe you should not. Maybe that's something you want to steer away from. That's a little bit different from, and that coincides exactly with what Muhammad has been saying. So,
Phil, I just want to add one more thing to it. It's almost like, you know, in investing in relationship is very similar to investing in stocks, right? It's long-term sometimes are very beneficial. Like if I see someone who's very talented, has a great future in the company, but I'm not going to limit my relationship with them. Oh, he's just a level one. Oh, he's just a level two. It's just a director. I'm not going to spend time, but people are running after officers, VPs, and, you know, and there are some amazing people around you who have great future in the company. And when they grow, you grow with them.
Sure.
They will take you, you know, become a part of, like, you are the CEO of your career and your job is to go find your board of directors. And I am very intentional about finding my board of directors. And this is something I learned from Al Michelle Smith. Like, actually, she's a big advocate of this. And I love talking about, you know, where she talks about how to grow your circle. So that's what I tell people, go find your board of directors, you know, and they'll be there for you while you're running your personal company. Yeah.
Muhammad, that's a keeper. You're the CEO of your career. Now go find your board of directors. I love that. And I hope the audience takes note of that as well. Excellent point. Before we get off about mentoring, before we get off of the topic of mentoring, what do you say to those, I kind of like alluded to it earlier, who use family or close friends as a mentor? What do you say to them?
I don't see anything wrong in that, right? Family really keeps you humble. Doesn't matter how big or how great you think, like, you know, I may think I'm a legend, but, you know, in my mind, but you're like, if I go and ask my kids, they'll put me in my place in within a few seconds. So I think family is definitely there. But a lot of time, family doesn't understand your work experience and your work life like your peers do, your mentors do, people that you work with. Unless, you know, you have family and friends who have that corporate experience, who have that professional experience, you know, they can give you life advice. They can give you personal advice, mental health. They can talk about, you know, taking care of yourself and things like that. But I personally have a lot of friends who have that kind of experience that I always go to for advice outside AT&T. And they have been phenomenal advocates of me, and especially in helping me join advisory boards or putting my name out there for recognition or things like that. And that normally is where your friends and family really come in the scene and support you But I absolutely don't see any issues with that. But I personally don't use a lot of family as mentors. But I do for personal stuff. But professional stuff, I try to find people who have the work experiences that I'm dealing with and the work experience that I'm trying to get to. So I usually go to folks who already can talk around that area.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent insight, Mohammed. Not that you mean any harm, but if they can lead you where you're going, where you're trying to go, where your purpose is and your focus, that's a good thing professionally and personally. I personally feel that there's always a red flag because when you include family, you have to be concerned about bias, you know, because they don't mean any harm. But you have to be concerned because they don't want to see you fail. And they also don't want to see you get hurt. Sometimes hurt is good.
Yeah.
You know, what did they say? What did the Tennessee coach say? If you stumble forward, right? We're all going to make mistakes. Yeah. Make sure that it doesn't impact you negatively. And biased opinions can impact you negatively. So be careful of that when using family or friends. So I want to switch. We're almost near the end here. Just a couple of more questions for you. I want to switch to sponsorship. There was an article that an author said in regards to where they actually discussed a lack of sponsorship is keeping women from advancing further in their leadership roles. What are your thoughts in regards to women not getting those roles and opportunities due to lack of sponsorship? And what do you think we can do to combat that?
Yeah, and it's an issue that's very, you know, I've been heavily involved in. I'm a big gender equality advocate, and, you know, I'm involved with a lot of organizations. I sit on the board of the United Nations Foundation Girl Up board. And this is an issue that we discuss in the local communities here in Dallas and at a national level. And, you know, I'm a big believer that when women rise, we all rise.
Yes.
And, you know, it's a huge issue in the community. And, you know, a lot of time it's not intentional. It's life experiences shape our personality.
Sure.
And the reality is it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, no one is waking up thinking about your career. The people that are closest to you in your life are not waking up thinking about your career. My wife is not waking up thinking about my career. My parents are not. My mom doesn't even know what I do. So that tells you that you are the only one that's responsible for your career. And as long as human beings are still deciding who gets the top job at a company, there is no such thing as a 100% meritocracy. And what that means is that, you know, you can be very smart. You can be the person who delivers results and working hard, head down. But there is no algorithm that deciding that Muhammad is a perfect candidate for a promotion.
Got it.
It's a human being. So that's where, you know, the women have to go and find their allies, and women have to, and companies have to realize that the issues that women deal with are not issues that men are dealing with. So, for example, Phil, you offer me a job right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to think twice. If it's a great job, pays well, promotion, I'm like, yeah, perfect. But the women that I have been mentoring, the issues they deal with are very different. They have to think, wait, I have to think, can I move? I'm not mobile. I don't think I can move. I have to talk to family, kids, school. There are like 10,000 things. And then, you know, which creates society, creates self-doubt in a lot of these things. I'll give you a perfect example. There was a social media job that one time I was offering to a mentoring circle. And I said, hey, there's a social media manager job. I offered it to a guy and he said, well, I'm really good with social media. I have Twitter, Facebook. And I'm like, no, having social media is not enough. It's like a marketing job. And when you offer to the lady, she was like, Muhammad, this is great. Thank you. I have a marketing degree, but I have never worked in social media. So overthinking, self-doubt, then there's, you know, there are so many intersectionalities. For example, there's the glass ceiling, but if you're Asian woman, there is the bamboo ceiling. There's a cultural ceiling to it. So there are so many things that are stopping women from advancing further in leadership roles. And as companies, we have to realize it, make it simple, make it very, very intentional in helping women get these roles right. To the point that, you know, create roles and create additional leadership programs focused just on which AT&T is doing. And I'm so proud that AT&T is a big champion of gender equality. But the thing is, unless you wake up, unless, like, going back to the be the CEO of your career, unless you wake up and you say, okay, this is it, I'm going for a leadership role, it's time I get promoted, go find your board of directors. There are thousands and thousands of allies out there who would love to help you get that promotion, help you further your leadership role. But the responsibility is on you. So, you know, and we're living in good times where people are getting comfortable to have uncomfortable conversations about gender equality, about equal pay, about women leadership roles, about role of, you know, the Black community, API community, Hispanic community. So this is the time to just take control and just go out and be very loud and proud about what you're trying to do.
Mohammed, this is excellent insight and advice, especially to the women in the network national audience. And I appreciate it. And I want to tell the audience, hey, I want to remind you, I hope that you all are taking advantage of our networking circles that we're providing. Know that there are advocates out there like Mohammed that will love to help you nurture and move forward in your career. We got about 2 minutes left, 3 minutes left. One final question that I want you to leave with the audience today, Mohammed. We've been talking about mentees dealing with mentors. I want to ask you, what do you say to mentors on how to stay effective while we're in COVID? What final thoughts from you for the mentors out there on remaining effective in COVID? What do you think?
I mean, my thing with mentors, to all the mentors out there, is, you know, first of all, continue to do what you're doing, because it takes a lot of time from your personal and professional life to take time out to help mentor someone, invest in their development. So first of all, thank you to all the mentors who are doing that. You know, continue to do that, but be intentional. If you feel that your mentoring circles are not bringing value, if people are not getting what they need, you know, be very transparent. I constantly ask those questions to my circle every meeting. Did what we shared today, did it bring value to you? To the point that we are, my goal of my network circle is to file a patent by the end of this year. And, you know, so we are very intentional with what we're trying to do. So, you know, be intentional, make sure it's bringing value, and it's not something just, you know, feel good. It's good while you're in the session, you're feeling like, oh, this is great, I'm getting something really great. But the moment you go out, that inspiration goes away, that excitement that you created is gone. And that is not what we want. Mentoring is, you know, providing direction. And I highly recommend mentors. If you have a large circle, if you have a group mentoring circle, try to get a one-on-one with each person on your mentoring circle, even if it's 15 minutes. That will be way more beneficial than putting 10 people in a circle. There's a lot of time people are introvert versus extrovert. A lot of people may not ask questions. They may have things on their mind that they don't want to share with people around you. So that's my advice to mentors is, you know, try to get one-on-one mentoring with all your group mentoring, and be very intentional and be very transparent. Keep asking for feedback. And because I'm learning equally and more from my mentoring circle than they probably are learning from me.
Mm-hmm. Excellent insight. And Mohammed, and remember their name.
Yeah.
Mentors, remember your mentor names. Awesome. This is great insight. And I want to thank you for your powerful recommendations and your knowledge in regards to helping our audience out there grow in mentoring, grow in being an advocate, as well as being a sponsor. I thank you. And we are looking forward for our next Real Career Talk event. Thank you again, Mohammed Fashari. We appreciate you all. Everyone, stay powerfully present. Have a great day.